Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 2.
Unlike dogs, animals who eat their own poop, cats do not belong to humans. If anything, humans belong to us. We're the ones calling the shots, even when humans are vain enough to think otherwise. It's true, we often develop a certain affinity for those who fill our dish with kitty crunchies, but such endearments are purely optional. My first handler was a hot mess named Nancy Neptune. In less than a year, Neptune managed to cost me 2 of my 9 lives. We met by accident when she ran over my paw in the parking garage of her apartment complex. I was a mere 8 weeks old at the time, foraging in the garage for tidbits. Neptune wasn't a cat person, having previously been one of those smirky dog owners who run around after their pet with a plastic doo-doo bag on their hand. Perhaps this was to ensure her dog didn't snack between meals. Fortunately for me, Neptune's dog was chilling in an urn when I came along. If there was a contest for cat-human relationships, I'd give Neptune a purple participation ribbon. In her own cocky way, Neptune tried. She really did. But not too long after she ran over my paw in the parking garage, Neptune took me on an ill-advised trip to Mexico. Underestimating the friendliness of the bandito she was drinking with got us both bashed and slashed. Needless to say, I was relieved when Neptune bequeathed me to the young twins residing at Gecko's Gulch when she moved to New York City. Taj Wakefield, a frequent guest at Gecko's Gulch, received the same kind of upgrade in living circumstances, yet failed to appreciate it. Rather than thanking Allah he wasn't roaming around Pakistan making soup from goat guts, Taj was secretly ashamed that his birth mother had the audacity to nudge him into the hands of some wealthy Americans. Have you seen the lady Taj now calls Mom? She's a tad on the skinny side, but meow. Taj is no chunker, but he eats like one. Of all the people who have prowled the pantry at Gecko's Gulch, Taj is my favorite. Unlike most humans, Taj doesn't talk to me like I have the IQ of an imbecile. Why do humans baby talk their pets anyway? It's just plain weird. I licked my chops in anticipation when I found out Taj was spending the entire summer at Gecko's Gulch.
Chapter 2. Taj Wakefield. You wouldn't think a guy like Brandon Spinkle would ever be friends with a pint-sized muffin eater like me. The first time I saw Brandon, he was wearing that scared, crapless look of the new kid in school. Out of human decency, I tried to make him feel welcome. My parents move a lot because of their work with the airlines, so when I say I've been there, you can take that to the bank and cash it. In fact, I'd been a newbie at North Platte High School just one semester before I met Brandon. I've learned how to survive in the mosh pit of public schools by not being afraid to talk to people, even ones who are bigger, stronger, and better looking than me, which is pretty much everyone. This doesn't mean I've got people lining up to be my friend. My brown skin weeds out a lot of what I call small-minders. In the beginning,
I thought Brandon just wanted to swim in my pool.
So do most of my other friends, and some of them can swim at home. I guess when it comes to pools, size matters. That and the fact that no one ever bothers us at my house. We never do anything wrong, we just like to know we can if we want to. Brandon changed that dynamic for sure. Not so much for the other guys, but definitely with me. In fairness to Brandon, a lot of the trouble we got into was related to my goal of setting a Guinness World Record for swimming in the most amount of man-made pools. Right now, there isn't a record listed that I have to beat, so technically, I've already set one. My parents are what Brandon calls travel gluttons. You would think that people who fly for a living would like to keep their feet on the ground for a few hours when they're not working, but not my parents, especially my mom. A few years ago, Mom went pro with her photography hobby, and now her pictures are printed in Perspectives magazine. To keep me from driving my parents nuts when we travel, Dad swims with me in every hotel pool we stay in. I started taking pictures and writing a little review for a blog called Take the Plunge. Each pool gets its own unique rating, such as 3 belly flops or Health Inspector, stat! My parents are paranoid about online perverts, so they won't let me post any pool pics that have me in them. No worries. The last thing I want is for my readers to start hating on me because my skin looks like I have a permanent tan. Brandon took it upon himself to make sure my efforts were Guinness worthy. He started by goading me into swimming across the fake lake in his grandparents' subdivision. There's a fountain in the middle that shoots water into the sky. They put some kind of nasty dye in there to make the water blue. The lake is there just for looks, so there's no chlorine, which makes it really slick and slimy. My first thought after plunging into this blue nightmare was, I will never be clean again. It only took about 90 seconds for me to swim the length of the pond, but I came out smelling and feeling like I'd been coated in belly button jam. Why I did this on a cold day in March is anyone's guess. All I know for sure is that I reeked so bad when I got out that Brandon wouldn't let me in his grandparents' house. He was afraid his grandma would be tipped off by the smell and start asking questions. I froze my little brown buns off riding home that day. After the stenchy swim in the fake pond, I told Brandon I wouldn't get in any body of water unless he did too. I thought this would discourage Brandon from coming up with any more dingy ideas, but I was seriously wrong on that account. Instead, Brandon got a notebook and started writing out plans for future missions. We followed up the putrid pond outing with one that involved danger, or at least I thought it was dangerous. There's a golf course near my parents' house that has an actual pond where 3 huge swans live. These birds look all peaceful and charming, but if you even walk within a few feet of them, they'll try to shred you like a block of cheese. Brandon claimed there was no way they'd chase us in the water, but he was wrong on that point. I made him go first, so he was the one the swans went after. Neither one of us got bit, but it was the scariest 2 minutes of my life. On top of that, we came out of the pond smelling like a gallon of milk that had been left in a hot car for a month. I thought about making Brandon ride his bike back home to shower at his grandparents' house, but we were laughing so hard once we got away from the angry swans, I didn't have the heart. After our second mission, Brandon left to spend the summer with his mom. They were in Hawaii, but Brandon texted constantly, complaining about how much he hated it. He must have been bored, because when school started in the fall, Brandon had several pages of new missions already lined out. The first one we did was called Dip and Dash. Brandon's dad had bought a house a block away from ours, so we pretty much spent every night together when we weren't in school, and even some nights when we were. The mission of Dip and Dash was to swim in every pool in our subdivision. Since we didn't know a lot of these people, we did it at night. I never knew there were so many dogs in our neighborhood. One family even had a peacock, which screeched so loud, it sounded like a homicide in progress. The lights went on in the house when the racket started up, but by then, we were halfway over the fence and never got caught. There's about a billion pools in Las Vegas, but the best ones are on the Strip. I'd already been in several of them, including the ones at Diamonds in the Desert, which is owned by a friend of Brandon's dad. These pools were fine for my blog, but swimming in them didn't count as a mission. Brandon's idea was to gain access to public places we weren't supposed to be in. The first time we did it was kind of an accident. We had gone to Desert Winds to scope out the place. My parents don't like it when I make my caretaker, Mrs. McMurdy, drive me around too much, so I've learned how to use the bus system. Brandon and I had lunch at Burger Mania, which opens out to the pool area at Desert Winds. After we ate, we just walked out of the back of the restaurant and dove in the pool. Brandon was wearing a pair of cargo shorts that he normally swims in, but I was in regular street clothes. Even though I'm not allowed to post pictures of myself on the internet, I always take one for verification with Guinness. The shot of me swimming in street clothes at Desert Winds is one of my favorites.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. Whether you're going on a trip or just tripping, Quirky Cannabis Country is the perfect audiobook to take on your next adventure. Find out what happens when a group of extreme kooks gathers to participate in a reality TV show near an oasis of kick-ass cannabis. Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get it today on audible.com.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
Our maiden casino mission was such a hoot, we decided to try the one next door using a more complex strategy. This time, we showed up in our swim trunks and played hacky sack in front of the entrance to the pool area. You have to present the attendant with a room key to get in, so we waited until we saw some kids heading our way. Brandon was acting like a tourist, asking the kids some stupid questions he already knew the answers to. After we made friends, Brandon invited them to play hacky sack with us. When it got too hot to play anymore, we all went into the pool using the same key. Lots of casinos have private pools for ultra-rich guests. We'd been in all of the ones they have at Diamonds in the Desert because Brandon briefly dated one of the girls who lives there. Yes, that's right. Brandon knows a girl who lives in a casino. Her name is Isla Ray Stratton. She's a former polygamist from Zion Flats, a little town near Naval, Utah. Even though Isla Ray was only 14 years old at the time, the prophet of Zion Flats was trying to force her to marry this scuzzy ghoul who was old enough to be her great-grandfather. Isla Ray was rescued by Meredith Andrews, another Zion Flats escapee who was adopted by the family that owns Diamonds in the Desert Casino. According to Brandon, Meredith and Isla Ray live at the casino because the cameras on the property discourage the child molesters from Zion Flats from bothering them. Meredith has this awesome penthouse in a building separate from the main hotel. We got to stay in one of these luxe pads one weekend during Rectal Fest. In case you haven't heard of it, Rectal Fest is this totally boss two-day rock show that my whole family gets invited to. At the end of this summer, the band is planning a huge blowout with a Rectal Fest event in New York City. They're calling it a splashdown, which is so gooey, I have to laugh. My dad has already agreed to fly me and Brandon out there so we can wrap the summer up in style. I don't get too worked up by the fact that Brandon's dad is a big star. He sure doesn't act like one. Dr. Spinkle is one of the pickiest guys I've ever met. Everything has to be perfect, which means Brandon is usually in trouble for something. When it comes to his mom, Brandon is thoroughly miffed any way you slice it. A couple weeks after we started hanging out, Brandon spent the night at my house. We'd stayed up till about 3 in the morning playing video games and slamming sodas. I wasn't trying to start anything when I asked why Brandon's family moved to Las Vegas. I knew the Spinkles were getting a divorce, but I was curious as to why Brandon and his sister, Lexi, were living with their dad. That's when Brandon told me about the pictures of his mom. Halfway through this humiliating story, Brandon started to cry. Not discreet little tears or sniffles disguised as allergies, but the real deal. He full-on sobbed. We're talking blubbering, choking, near-death squalls. He sounded like a seal watching an extremely sad chick flick. Brandon's face got real red, which made the river of gross yellow stuff streaming out of his nostrils all the more disgusting. I didn't want Brandon to feel any more embarrassed than he already did, so I kept my sandwich eater closed while he got it all out. When he came to his senses enough to wipe his nose on the greasy pizza napkin balled up on the coffee table, I said, "You think that's bad? My mom took one look at me and said, 'I'm just not feeling it.'" It was the first time I'd ever laughed about being an orphan, but there's no reason to feel sad about it now. I'll never know who she is or why I was left on the steps of a Buddhist temple. I fired off another my mama joke. "Hey Brandon, what do they call a mom who dumps her kid off in the Middle East on Halloween?" A crummy mummy. Brandon had a few my mama jokes of his own. Most of them weren't what anyone would call nice, but I couldn't blame him. If anything, I could totally relate. When it comes to awkward family situations, the Wakefields practically wrote the instruction manual. I don't know the whole story, but Dad was married to someone else when he got together with Mom. I have two stepsisters who I rarely get to see. Their mom is so mad at my mom that it makes everyone uncomfortable. To make things worse, my dad is 18 years older than my mom, so her ultra-religious parents don't approve of their marriage. I get the feeling Mom's parents don't even like me. The fact that I was born in Pakistan makes them nervous. Mom may as well have given them a t-shirt that says, "My daughter went all the way to Pakistan and all she brought back was this homeless kid." I'll bet my grandfather would flip his hairpiece if he saw the Obama 08 sticker Mom recently put on her car. I hope he wins. Mrs. McMurdy is the only person who is willing to stick with our family for the long haul. My parents hired her to be my nanny when they brought me to the United States. Mrs. McMurdy grew up in Boston, which is where we lived until I was about 4. She's been with us ever since. Whenever my parents have to move for work, they pack up Mrs. McMurdy like she's a flight bag. Now that I'm 14, I'm way too old for a nanny, and Mrs. McMurdy is way too old to be one. At this point, Mrs. McMurdy is more like a roommate with a driver's license. Not that it's a good idea to let Mrs. McMurdy drive anywhere beyond our part of town. She came home with a skateboard stuck to the grill of her car the other day. I checked several online news sites, but couldn't find any reports of someone being killed by a motorist, so I guess she got lucky. You know all those movies about leaving Las Vegas? That's the agenda Mrs. McMurdy is pushing with my parents these days. She can't stand the hot weather, and has decided to, once again, spend the summer at her sister's house in Boston. I've already gotten permission to spend the first 2 weeks of summer at Gecko's Gulch, while my parents went on a safari in Africa, but I sure the heck didn't want to waste the remainder in Boston. Especially not with her sister. No offense or anything, But Mrs. McMurdy's sister is only a year or two younger than she is, so they spend most of the time comparing the size of their bunions. When Brandon's stepmom, Blue McKenna, extended the invitation to include the whole summer, I could have kissed her, but that would be gross since she's an adult. I've never actually kissed a girl before, but it tops the list of things I want to do this summer. Brandon can't wait to get out of Las Vegas. The paparazzi has been bugging his family, which really burns his bacon. All this is because the first Mrs. Spinkle is going on a show called Celebrity Cougars. It's 10 flavors of super strange that I'm pals with someone who has the tabloids hounding his family. Neither one of my parents are famous, but because we live so close to the Spinkles, they've become good friends with Blue and Brandon's dad, also known as Scotty Sphincter. Brandon and his little sister Lexi spent a lot of time at our house before Blue and Scotty got married because they didn't want anyone to know they were sneaking off to have premarital sex. I'm not sure who they thought they were fooling. During the school year, our families kind of gelled together. My parents and Mrs. McMurdy were invited to all kinds of events with Brandon's parents and grandparents. We had barbecues and dinners at the Spinkles' house, and they came over to ours on a regular basis. Brandon's grandma, who I like to call Mrs. Spinks, went to movies and lectures with Mrs. McMurdy, and we all sat together when we went to concerts put on by the rectal surgeons. Things were going so well. I couldn't understand why my parents were always bickering. It seemed like my parents were having more fun with the Spinkles than they were with each other. For the past year or so, they've been fighting constantly. That's not an easy thing to do since both of them are hardly ever home, especially at the same time. Their fights are so predictable, I could fill in for either one of them. My mom accuses my dad of having an affair, and my dad bitches at my mom about not taking care of herself. I don't know if dad is seeing someone else, but I do know mom is way too skinny. Learning to cook wasn't just a tactic designed to avoid the standard boiled potato and unidentifiable meat entrees prepared by Mrs. McMurdy. Somehow, everything Mrs. McMurdy cooks tastes like airplane food. No wonder mom never eats anything. I thought if I learned how to make some stuff mom actually likes, she'd gain a little weight. I know there is pressure from mom's job to be thin, but she's really gone overboard with it. Africa seemed like a strange place for mom to win back her appetite, but at least my parents were traveling somewhere together this summer. It didn't take long for the whole thing to blow up. My parents tried to act like everything was going to be okay, but I didn't just fall off a Pakistani turnip truck. Well, come to think of it, maybe I did. But even a brown-skinned schmo like me could tell my life was about to change, and probably not for the better.
Don't be a jerk. Listen to The Quirk. Quirky Cat gets ghosted, that is. This zany audiobook by Adele Park is The Cat's Meow. Find out what happens when a ghost gets trapped at the DMV and requires the assistance of a snarky cat named Skitters to help her cross over.
I'm so happy I could heave hairballs.
Quirky Cat gets ghosted. Get ghosted today on audible.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.